Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may there be peace. So, I'm here because the ambo just seems so far away. And I'd like to be a little provocative tonight. I'd like to think together. See, at the cathedral, whenever Remembrance Day falls within a day or so of the Sunday, we actually have Remembrance Sunday here at the 8 a.m. and at the 10:30. And I know that there are many who would wonder, why would we remember war in church? I also know, deep in my soul, that there are people in our communities for whom Remembrance Day is a moving and profound way of recalling friends and family who died for what they believed. It is a time of recalling bravery. It is a time of recalling doing what's right, for laying one's life down for a friend. And this is especially true for the men and women in Canada's military who have served in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, in Lebanon, in Somalia, and Cyprus, just to name a few of the conflicts of my generation. So we all have different ways of viewing Remembrance Day, and each one of them contains a kernel of truth. I choose to wear a red poppy. I respect and honor those who wear a white poppy and those who choose to wear neither. And so in the midst of this, I keep wondering, what is it that we want to remember here as Christians? If we're called to love our neighbor as self, if we're called to forgiveness, if we're called to peace, how then do we best move forward on a weekend that remembers war? So I'd like to bring two thoughts together as a way of going through the sometimes tangled issues of Remembrance Day. And to do that, I invite you first just to sit for a moment and hear these words. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? I'll say that again. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? That's Gordon Lightfoot from the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And so you see, at some level, we all get that line. Now, I may never have been on a sinking ship, nor in a firefight, but I have been beside people I loved as they died. I have survived heartbreak. I have felt abandoned. I have been terrified. I've wondered where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours. And I'm fairly sure that each and every one of us here tonight have been there too. And there is a special terror, a special pain that comes out of firsthand experiencing war, whether you served and survived, or whether you lived through the ominous sounds of air raid sirens or helicopter gunships. Yours is a terrible experience, known only by others with similar experiences. We often measure violence in terms of physical wounds. Something like 600,000 men were killed or wounded in both the German and Allied trenches in the 4.5 months of Passchendaele. And we know now that to the brain, social pain is treated largely the same as physical pain. To the brain, a broken heart is as painful as a broken bone. There is great suffering, great pain in the world of many shapes and sizes, including state-sanctioned violence like war, We have our own experiences of watching violent acts like the terror in Sutherland Springs in Las Vegas playing out on our screens. There's also the suffering and pain experienced when families ostracize children for being gay or trans. There is a pain and suffering when people betray us, when people laugh at us, not with us, when the waves turn the minutes to hours. And no one knows exactly what any sort of pain was like for you. No one can really know what it was like for you. So while we highlight the terrible experiences of the people who fought through war, there is also a place in this space in which we can all relate. And so as we reflect on Remembrance Day, I'd like you to keep this image in mind and in your heart. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? So here's the second thought in moving through this tangled web of Remembrance Day in church. You see, I think we've been misleading ourselves with all this talk about remembering. The key is actually remembrance. And that's different from remembering. It's an ancient idea. There's a Greek word that folks who wear collars learn in the first year of seminary. The word is, the word is anamnesis. The closest English word is remembrance. We hear it every Sunday in the Eucharistic prayer. Do this in remembrance of me. And this word anamnesis is often linked with the ancient Hebrew word zerk. We would say it in English, Z-R-K. And zerk is a way of remembering that gives us insight into the present and future by making the past present. So listen to this reading from Micah this morning, where this beleaguered nation is so very aware of the destruction and exile of their neighbors by the Assyrian Empire a few decades prior. This idea of zerk brings that terrible past forward into the present imagination for them and describes this hopeful future. Here it is. He shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. That's the Assyrians. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. Bringing the past into the present and providing a hopeful future. And in the Eucharistic prayer, this powerful experience continues. We're called each Sunday to an act of remembrance. Not simply remembering. We're called to bring forward the past into the present. We bring forward the Last Supper and the acts that recall a betrayal, a terror, acts that recall injustice. We recall an act that cries out, does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Jesus' words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Each Sunday, we experience an act of anamnesis, an act of remembrance. We are called to remember that through those waves of terror, those waves of betrayal, those waves of pain and suffering, there is hope. There is resurrection. There is a way forward. We're called to remember that the love of God in the midst of the waves points to compassion, points to forgiveness, points to gratitude, and points to love for and with each other. Amidst the waves of pain, we are called to remember, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it is this sense of zerk, this sense of anamnesis, that I believe Remembrance Day is actually all about. We're not here to simply remember, not to give platitudes. We're not to simply stand silently and offer prayers or think about what someone did to you at work yesterday or whatever it is that we do in those 2 minutes of silence. We're to learn. We're to make a better future. Pay attention to the guns as they fire each Remembrance Day. They are bringing the past forward. They are bringing the terror of the trenches into our cities and towns. And those guns are calling you and I to learn from those mistakes. Those guns are calling us to bring the past present so that we might learn the consequences of violence, the consequences of retribution, the consequences of revenge, the consequences of betrayal and fear. And so in the places that God has given you responsibility, what control do you have to prevent violence, to prevent bullying, to prevent fear from becoming the cultural norm? We have the power as Christians of modeling, of being people who care, people who stand up for the victim, who are compassionate, and who hold each other accountable for not only the results, but how we get those results. We have the power of instilling cultures of kindness and mutual respect in our families and in our workplaces. And in doing so, we are building communities of kindness and mutual respect in our cities, in our province, and even in our country. So that one day we might just be able to beat our swords into plowshares, to beat our spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall we learn war anymore, but we shall sit under our own vines and under our own fig trees. And no one shall make us afraid again. Amen.